first book of Samuel. We're turning to first Samuel in the third chapter and beginning to read at the opening verse, please. The first book of Samuel, chapter 3 and the verse 1. 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 1. And we read, "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. And there the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. That the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, 'Here am I.' And he ran unto Eli and said, 'Here am I, for thou callest me.' And he said, 'I called not, lie down again.' And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again, 'Samuel.' And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, 'Here am I, for thou didst call me.' And he answered, 'I called not, my son, lie down again.' Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, 'Here am I, for thou didst call me.' And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, 'Go lie down, and it shall be if he call thee that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.' So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, 'Samuel, Samuel.' Then Samuel answered, 'Speak, for thy servant heareth.'" We'll end our reading there, verse 10. And we know God will bless the reading of his own word to all of our hearts tonight. Now, could I also join in giving a word of welcome tonight to everyone? Good to see such a good turnout on a Monday night. I know the ladies are tired doing the washing and you're exhausted pushing that button on that automatic washing machine. But we're glad that you made a special effort to be out tonight. And I was really glad to see our brother Paul coming, because if our brother and I had sung, you would have been out of the meeting saying, like Cain, "My punishment is greater than I can bear." And I can tell you, we can't really make a joyful sound unto the Lord. When our children were very small, and that we read together from the Word of God this evening. Now, as you read through the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation, you'll discover that God is the God of the Bible, who calls men and women to himself. The first call that was ever given in the Word of God came after the fall of our first parents, Adam and Eve. God came into the garden at the cool of the day, and the voice of God sounded forth, "Adam, where art thou?" And right from that moment on, right down through the ages of time, God has been calling and speaking to men and women, seeking to draw them onto himself. You remember in the days of Noah that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. And Noah in the days before the flood was calling men and women to repentance, to turn away from their sin, enter into the ark, and for to be saved. Again, you'll remember the story of how that Moses stood at the burning bush, and God called Moses out of the burning bush, a man who felt he had made a mess of life, that as far as being used of God was concerned, that it was all over. And yet when he was 80 years of age, the call of God came, and God called him again into his service. And again, what's true in the Old Testament is also likewise true in the New Testament. And you remember when the Lord Jesus was here, how often he called men and women to himself, called Matthew, he called the disciples, he said, "Follow me, and I will make thee fishers of men." Then you'll remember how that he came to Jericho, stood at the foot of the tree, And he said to Zacchaeus, "Make haste and come down, for today I must abide in thy house." And as you read through the life story of the Lord Jesus Christ, you will find again God manifest in the flesh, and the person of his own dear Son was continually calling men and women to himself. And as you come to this portion of the Word of God tonight, and the call of the child Samuel, I believe that we have an illustration here of the effectual call of the gospel. What happens when God reaches forth in mercy and God calls a man or woman or a boy or girl to himself. And I want to look at this beautiful Old Testament story and all its simplicity this evening. And I trust that even as God called the child Samuel to himself, that God will speak to your heart and you will hear the message that the Master is come and he calleth for thee. Now, as you look at this story, I want you to notice first of all who it was God called. Look there with me, please, in the verse 7. And it says, "Now Samuel did not know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him." And you'll notice right away who God called, that it was Samuel the sinner. The Bible makes it clear that Samuel spiritually was still in darkness. For the Word of God says, "Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him." And here was the child Samuel in the temple, in the holy place, along with Eli. And he knew all about the Lord. He had heard the wonderful story of creation. He had heard of the fall of our first parents in the Garden of Eden. He had learned the great stories of the Bible and how that Noah built the ark at God's command, and how that God had called Abraham to be a stranger and a pilgrim and to look for a city whose builder and maker was God. And he would have known the wonderful story concerning Joseph and the birth of Israel and the redemption of Israel out of the house of bondage and into the land of promise. He would have heard all of the great things that the Lord had done. But this was the tragedy, that in spite of the fact that he had a head knowledge of the Lord, yet in his heart he was a stranger to grace and to God. And the Bible says that Samuel did not yet know the Lord. Maybe I'm speaking to someone here in this meeting, and you've been brought up in a good home, and thank God for that. You've been taught to go to Sunday school, and from your earliest days you have known the Holy Scriptures, like Samuel, that are able to make thee wise unto salvation. And yet, alas, the tragedy is this: while you know all about the Lord, yet when it comes to a heart experience of God's grace and salvation within your heart, alas, tonight you're still a stranger to the Lord. Possible to know all about Him and yet be a stranger to Him. You remember the Lord one day when He was speaking, He said, "There standeth one among you whom ye know not." And maybe you're in this old-time gospel, a service tonight, and when it comes to knowing Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're still in spiritual darkness and blinded by the God of this world. And oh, how important it is that you understand that if you're ever going to be saved, if you're ever going to enter into the kingdom of God, that you need to understand that you're a sinner and that you're without God and without Christ and without hope in the world. You see, the problem is that so many are not willing to take the place of the sinner, even as Samuel. Many years ago in the city of Belfast, there was a great gospel mission. And in this gospel mission, there was a dear lady, and My, she came under the conviction of sin. But the woman wouldn't acknowledge her sinnership. And even though God was speaking to her heart and the Spirit of God was dealing with her, she hardened her heart and she refused to accept the fact that she was a sinner. And she refused to come to Christ. And you know, sad to say, there's so many like that. My dear friend, you need to understand that Jesus said that I am come not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And if you're not willing to take the sinner's place at the middle cross of Calvary, then the Bible's a closed book and you can never be saved. Oh, my dear friend, you've got to understand that all have sinned, and that includes the preacher, it includes everyone in the meeting tonight, and that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Who God saved? It was Samuel the sinner. And the first step on the pathway to heaven tonight is to acknowledge that you are a sinner. But then I want you to see not only who God called, but I want you to see quickly how God called the child Samuel to himself. And you'll notice here that as the call of God comes to Samuel, that it was an individual call, that the Lord called him individually, called him by name. And during that moment when the lamp of God was about to go out in the temple, the voice of God was heard as the child lay down to sleep. And the Bible says in verse 4 that the Lord called Samuel and he answered, "Here am I." And we find again and again the Lord called Samuel by his name, Samuel, Samuel, Samuel. And the Lord called yet again. God called the child Samuel to himself. No, you need to understand that as far as life is concerned, you're born into this world as an individual. You live your life as an individual. One day you will die as an individual. And one day you will stand before a holy God as an individual. And you'll give an account of the deeds done in the body, and every sin that you've ever committed. You see, my dear friend, you need to understand that if you're going to be saved tonight, that you're an individual, and as an individual, you need to call upon the name of the Lord. Salvation is an individual thing. You know, some years ago in the city of Glasgow, and I spent 2 years there in the WAC Missionary Training College. It's an education in those days. And you know, one day in the bus, there was a godly old bus conductor in the days that buses had conductors. And the bus conductor, he was a Christian, and he loved the Lord. And a gang of fellas got onto the bus, and they thought they would have a bit of sport at the price of the godly bus conductor. And as he was coming down the bus and he came to this group of fellas, one of the fellas, the ringleader, he shouted out, "Come on, give me a ticket for heaven." And he laughed and there was a roar of laughter. And then when the laughter died down, the godly old bus conductor, he looked the young fella in the eyes and he said, "Son, I can't give you a ticket for heaven. I can only get you as far as the cross. And when you get to the cross and the Lamb of God, it's between Christ and yourself." And that's the reason tonight why we preach Christ and Him crucified. That's the reason tonight why we cry out, "Behold the Lamb of God," that it's only Christ can save. Friend, if I could give you a ticket to heaven, I would do it. But my dear friend, salvation comes through Christ and Christ alone. The Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men. Listen, whereby we must be saved. Salvation is an individual thing. The Lord called them individually. But then I want you to notice here that the Lord called them continually. The Lord called them continually. You see, the first time the Lord called, the child Samuel didn't recognize the voice of the Lord, and he went to Eli, and Eli didn't understand that the Lord was calling the child. And again the Lord called the second time. Again Samuel ran to Eli, and it happened again the third time. And the third time Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. And you see, continually the Lord was calling Samuel to himself. And oh, the mercy and the grace and the long suffering and the patience of the Lord, that the Lord stands and the Lord calls, not once but twice and again, as he seeks to draw men and women to himself. And perhaps there's someone here tonight, and as you turn over the pages of memory, you can look back to times in your life when the Lord called. You were in a children's meeting, and you heard the voice of the Lord speaking to your heart. And you hardened your young heart, and you said, not tonight, Lord Jesus. And then as life moved on again in your teens, you heard the Lord speak. And again you hardened your heart. And perhaps you're in the meeting tonight and life has moved on and you've discovered that we spend our years as a tale that is told. Life goes in so quickly. And tonight you're still hardening your heart to the call of God. You haven't responded to the call of the Lord Jesus Christ. Once again the Lord comes and he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. At the heart's door, the Savior's knocking. At the heart's door, fast closed by sin, can't you hear him gently pleading? Draw the bolt and let me in. You know, I remember some years ago in the city of Belfast, there was great tent missions. They were held in the high street in the center of the town, and the evangelists were Harold Paisley and Frank Knox of the Brethren, both great gospel preachers, and especially old Frank Knox. And you know, he was a tremendous character. And the place where the tent was erected was an old bomb site. And old Frank used to say, Hitler bombed this so that we could have our tent missions. Quite a character. And one night I was sitting in the meeting and Frank Knox said this, and I never forgot it. He said, you know, there's men and women in this service tonight, and you treat the Lord Jesus the way you wouldn't treat your dog. You have more respect for your dog. And I sat up and I was listening. And he said, you know what it is when the dog comes and the dog barks at the door? What do? He said, you get up and you open the door and you would let the dog in. And he said, the Lord Jesus comes and he stands and he knocks with a nail-pierced hand again and again. But you harden your heart and you refuse him in an entrance. And what you do for your dog, you're not prepared to do for the Savior who died for you upon the cross. Is that you tonight, dear friend? Oh, I wonder, is the Lord speaking to you too, calling you tonight individually? Is he calling you continually? And once again tonight, even in the eventide of life, the Lord has come and he's speaking to your heart. And you'll notice here that the Lord called him successfully, because you'll find in verse 10 it says, and the Lord came and stood and called as at other times. And I want you to get this, friend, because this was an Old Testament appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ in all His pre-incarnate glory. And what a scene it must have been. And if I was an artist, I would love to be able to paint this. It says, "And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times." And here's this Old Testament appearance of the Lord Jesus and the Lord of glory, the God and Father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Creator of the universe. He comes and He stands and He calls the child. Oh, the humility of God in grace, that the Lord would humble Himself in such a fashion. But you'll notice here that the Lord called him successfully. For Samuel answered, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." Samuel yielded and obeyed the call. I wonder tonight, is the Lord speaking to you tonight? The Lord calling you to Himself? Are you going to answer? Going to receive the Lord? Are you going to obey the invitation of the gospel and receive Christ as your Savior? Who God called? God called Samuel the sinner. How God called? He called him individually. He called him continually. Thank God He called him successfully. But notice where God called Samuel. Look at verse 3. And it says, "And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was led down to sleep." And you'll notice, please, that it was in the temple of the Lord, in the house of God, where the child Samuel heard the voice of God. Now, I believe tonight with all my heart that God can save a person anywhere. God can save you in a plane. God can save you down in a coal mine. God can save you anywhere. You don't need to be saved in a church. But you know, statistics in the past have shown that the majority of people who have got converted and come to Christ are converted inside a church building. And I believe there's a reason for that. You see, first of all, the house of God is the place where prayer is wont to be made. "My house shall be called the house of prayer by all nations." And the house of God was the place where prayer was offered up. Maybe there's someone here tonight, and if you but knew it, you're not here by chance, but you're here because someone took the time to pray. I never forget the night I was saved. Do you know where I was headed? I was headed to the cinema. I loved to go to the picture house. I thought John Wayne and my father won the war between them. I really did. And I loved to go to the picture house. And I was out going to the cinema one night, went across the street, knocked on the door, and the lady came out and she said, "I'm sorry, but Jim has gone on out." And I thought to myself, well, I don't want to go to the picture house on my own. And then I remembered, there's a wee meeting and there's a mission going on, and the Emmanuel Mission. And that night I made my way to the Emmanuel Mission. And I had a sister. There was 8 boys and there was 1 girl. She was the oldest. And she was a Christian. And she was praying for her brothers to get saved. And that night when I walked into that meeting, I believe it was an answer to my sister's prayers and to her tears for a brother that was on the broad road to a lost eternity. And friend, you're here tonight, and this is the house of God and the place of prayer. And I can assure you tonight that there's been men and women, and they've wept and they've prayed for your soul at the throne of grace. But I tell you something else about the house of God here. It says where the ark of God was. Do you remember the ark was the box, the chest where the 10 commandments were placed inside the ark of God. And so it reminds us that the house of God was the place where the Word of God was. That's very important, because it's the Holy Scriptures that are able to make you wise on to salvation. And God blesses the preaching of His Word to the salvation of men and women. Our brother quoted it in prayer tonight. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. And through the Word of God, we preach the message of the cross, God's way of salvation. You know, there was a great preacher by the name of Dr. Alexander White. He was a godly man. He had a young family. And he would have his family out there with his children, and he would quiz them on the portion of Scripture they had read together. And one day they read a passage that mentioned the cross. And he said to them, "Children, what does the word cross mean? What is a cross?" And he had a lovely wee girl, and she spoke up. And she said, "Daddy, the cross is the thing that you climb on if you want to get to heaven." Oh, she got full marks, friend. Because it's only through the cross and the blood that Christ shed that you and I can ever hope to get to heaven. That's why Paul said, "God forbid that I should glory, saved in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." Friend, outside of the cross, we have no message. The only message we have is that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. But then I want you to see not only who God called and how God called and where God called, but quickly consider with me when God called. Look at verse 3, the beginning of the verse. "And there the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord." When God called just as the light of the lamp in the temple was about to go out. And if you read carefully the book of Revelation, chapters 1, 2, and 3, you'll find that this lamp, this seven-branch golden candlestick, is a type of a picture of the seven churches. The lamp represents the church. And oh, beloved, can I tell you tonight, on the authority of God's precious Word, the hour, the moment is surely coming when the lamp of God is going to go out, and the Lord Jesus is going to come, and He's going to descend with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. And this book says the dead shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to be together forever with the Lord. You see, the Bible tells us no less than 317 times in the New Testament that Jesus is coming again. And perhaps sooner than you can imagine, the midnight cry will go up, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him." Tell me, friend, are you ready? If the Lord was to come for His church tonight, that He's redeemed with His own precious blood, tell me, could you go out to meet Him with your robes washed in the precious blood of the Lamb? When God called ere the lamp of God went out. And friend, as I read the prophetic Scriptures, I see them fulfilled before our very eyes today. And it reminds us that the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Jesus said, "When you see these things come to pass, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh." And the Lord has said, "I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Tell me, friend, if the lamp was to go out tonight, would you be numbered among the wise or the foolish virgins? Do you know Christ is your Savior? Are you trusting in Him? Can you look back to a moment when you received Jesus as your Savior and you just didn't know all about Him? but ye came to know him, to know the one whom to know is life eternal. Oh, I trust tonight that as God calls and God speaks through his word out of your heart once again, tonight you'll come like the child Samson, the child Samuel, and you'll kneel before the cross and you'll accept Christ as your own and personal Savior. May the Lord help you to come tonight. We're going to turn together to our closing hymn, and it's the words of the hymn.